Congratulations to McGee's Bakery, celebrating their 60th anniversary. Family owned since 1956, everyone knows that McGee's Bakery is a great place to start your day. However, did you know that McGee's also serves lunch? You can enjoy great sandwiches and homemade soups. Also, for the heartier appetite, enjoy one of McGee's delicious burgers. Schedule your next lunch meeting at McGee's, located on the corner of South Ashland and Main Street. Make sure to tell them you heard about them on 1250 Sports Talk.
Flowers are the perfect present for any special occasion. Birthdays, anniversaries, celebrations of life. Creations by Karen wants to help you find the most beautiful bouquets and flower arrangements. Pick up your own at Creations by Karen's convenient location in Zandale Shopping Center off of Nicholasville Road. You could also call 859-277-6166 or check them out online at creationsbykaren.net. Make sure next time you let Creations by Karen help you pick out the perfect present to make a lasting memory.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.
The following program is sponsored by Horn Marketing and Consulting.
It's time now for Sports Talk, and here's your Sports Talk host, Greg Horn, here on AM 1250 WLRT.
Good afternoon, and welcome to 1250 Sports Talk here on AM 1250 WLRT. No Greg Horn this week, so myself, Action Jackson, and my dad, Rick Reams, will be here for three, maybe four of the days together. And then tomorrow, still to be announced who's going to be with me. I've tried a couple of people, but I'll have someone for you. Want to thank McGee's Bakery for being our sponsor of the day today. Over 60 years here in Lexington, so you know they're doing something right. And I'll tell you what they're doing right, just about everything. Fantastic bakery options down there. I really enjoy their donuts. They offer a lunch as well, and you should go check that out. Just thank them for sponsoring 1250 Sports Talk. They've been with us all along, and we really appreciate their support. On the show today, we're going to break down that UK football spring game. There is some notes on UK basketball. And in our second segment, we're going to have Brian Milam of WKYT. He actually had a birthday late last week. I tried to get him on the show on Thursday when it was his birthday. We weren't able to do it, so instead we got him today. Our usual Monday guest, Justin Rowland, on vacation this week, and a much-needed vacation, so I hope he has a great time. Let's get right into it, though. I would normally start with the blue-white game, since it was the most recent big-time event, but there's a little bit of breaking news today, and we definitely need to discuss it. Jared Vanderbilt, the small-forward, power-forward hybrid from Houston, Texas, officially signed with Kentucky today. He had been committed since December 23rd of 2016, but had just now officially signed. And after having a very quiet McDonald's All-American game, he's a guy who has exploded in his last two All-American games, having 19 points, 10 rebounds in the Hoop Summit, and 17.7 rebounds in the Jordan Brand Classic. But you and I turned on that Jordan Brand Classic just in time to see the last minute and the worst thing that you could possibly think of occur to Mr. Vanderbilt.
Yeah, Jackson, he was playing really well, and he all of a sudden comes down. I mean, it's the very end of the game, comes down, and it looked like to us it was almost one of those non-contact injuries. I'm hoping what he did is he rolled his ankle. You know, you've said he's a bit of an injury-prone guy. He broke his left foot last year, which caused him to miss some significant time. This was on his right foot. After the game, he came out and said everything's fine, but they're supposed to be getting an x-ray today. As of the last things that I have seen, reports on Twitter and Facebook, those results are still not back in yet. But the kid and his parents are saying it's not a big deal. But what do you think, Jackson? Could this be a big, big thing?
Well, it could be a big thing if he would have to miss any time because, like I was mentioning, he's a guy who really seems like he's found what he needs in order to succeed. Yes, you cannot perform in those All-Star games and still end up being a good college player, But the ones who stand out very rarely come into college and don't have a major impact. And I think Vanderbilt could be a great kind of wing guy that Kentucky has been missing, averaging, you know, at least 17 points in his last two All-Star games is really impressive. And he does a little bit of everything. In that Nike Hoop Summit game, along with his 19 points and 10 rebounds, he added in 3 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. So a guy that I think would be really important, and if he's going to do that much, he needs to be 100% healthy. Good news is, though, that, you know, there's nothing going on that he absolutely has to be available for until the season starts late next year, or late this year, I guess. So he's got a good, you know, 6 months probably before things really need to get started and have him at 100%. So it is something to worry about. But I still think he's going to be a phenomenal player, and you got to hope that this was just kind of a freak incident that won't affect him in the long run.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people roll their eyes at All-Star games and say they don't play any defense. The one All-Star game I think that they at least care and play a little bit harder is that Nike Hoop Summit, and that's the one that he did really well in. Like you said, 19 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. So I'm with you, Jackson. Even if it's a minor injury, they have plenty of time to get that taken care of. You know, you had said right off the bat that you were concerned about an Achilles just because of the way he didn't put any pressure on that. I unfortunately have lived through that injury and still have a numb foot from it. So I'm with you. I'm really hoping that that's not the case. And I think if it was an Achilles, we would have already heard by now. I don't think there's any way they could have kept that quiet. So I think it's just one of those things. You know, it happened. It's a shame that it happened at the end of the game. And it's one of those things, you know, you want your kids out there playing in all these All-Star games, and they want to play because it's so prestigious. But this is the one thing that you don't want to happen, and that is a kid to get hurt during one of these games.
And I think out of all these Calipari years with all of these guys in the All-Star games, I believe Jared Vanderbilt is the first one I have seen get injured in one of these games. So they've had a really good bit of luck with not having anyone injured in any of those All-Star games. I think a lot has to do with how serious the guys take it. You know, mostly they're kind of lazy and lackadaisical, but this is definitely one that you'll want to pay attention to. There were also three other Kentucky guys in that Jordan Brand Classic game. Give you just a quick rundown of how they did. Quade Green, the point guard, 6 points, 5 rebounds, 10 assists. Center Nick Richards, 10 points and 3 rebounds. And P.J. Washington with 11 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, and 6 steals. Another guy who looks like he can do quite a bit for Kentucky next year. And then the two UK targets, center Muhammad Bamba, 6 points and 10 rebounds. And forward Kevin Knox with 12 points, 3 rebounds. There was actually an All-Star game a little bit closer to home, though, up in Louisville, or maybe right across the river up there. The Derby Classic game was put on, and Shai Alexander, the guy who is often forgotten about in this Kentucky recruiting class, really put on a show for that event.
Yeah, he had 29 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists in just 19 minutes. Needless to say, to take the MVP honors. He also won the 3-point competition. I think the one thing I really liked about him is apparently when he won that 3-point competition, all the Louisville fans were booing at him, so he just booed right back at them. Just had fun with it. And, you know, Jackson, it's one of those things. It's kind of amazing. The Derby Classic used to be like the All-Star game. Everyone played in it many years ago, and now it's kind of a forgotten one. And I hate to say it like this, but one reason you could tell it's forgotten was because of all the U of L signees played in it. Point guard Darius Perry, 22 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. Center Malik Williams, 3 points and 4 rebounds. Forward, you're going to have to help me here, Jordan Nwora,
I guess?
7 points and 7 rebounds, and Lance Thomas, 5 points and 5 rebounds. Let's just say the Louisville guys didn't have a great night. Your alma mater, the reigning Mr. Basketball, Tavion Hollingsworth, won MVP for his team, 18 points and 7 rebounds. He's going to Western. Jackson, I've heard a lot of people going back and forth about whether that kid should be playing at UK this coming year. You got to see him play. Do you think he would have been lost in the UK system, or do you think he could have been another one like Dominique Hawkins that could have done something here?
Well, I think he could have done something, but eventually. I don't think he would have had any immediate impact whatsoever. May not have even contributed his first 2 years. And the way he's talked to media, it sounds like to me, he's a guy who believes that wherever he would have gone, he wanted to be on the floor at all times. And at Kentucky, that wasn't going to be an option. He said he didn't like to be anyone's backup plan, and I think that's what he felt he was to Kentucky. But look, when you're going after five-star guards and then even high four-star guards, you're going to take those commitments over a three-star kid in your backyard. He didn't like that, and I don't fault John Calipari for not offering the guy before he did, because I don't think there would have been any reason to take a commitment from Tavion Hollingsworth as early as he committed and signed with Western Kentucky, because blatantly, Coach Cal can get better talent elsewhere if he has to. You like him to have Kentucky guys, but I by no means fault Coach Cal. And it sounded like from Twitter, actually, from our Twitter page, Greg Horn may have disagreed with me. He was very loud in talking to Curtis Birch from 630 WLAP, saying that he thinks that John Calipari really missed on that guy. I'm not saying Hollingsworth isn't good. I'm not saying he won't be good for Western. I just don't go and say that John Calipari missed on a guy. I think he wanted to wait and offer Hollingsworth, and Hollingsworth wasn't willing to wait.
I don't think you can blame either one of them. I think Hollingsworth figured he needed to go where he wanted to go to, and that was Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky is should be on the upswing. And so I think he goes there thinking, you know what, if we can turn it around there, you know, I have a hand in that. And like you said, I'll get to play right away, whereas at UK, there's no guarantee even after 2 years, because let's be honest, Jackson, they're going to over-recruit him every year. That's just what we do here. You know, my thing is I want a kid that says, you know what, you may over-recruit me, but you're not going to be able to keep me off the floor. Now, again, you've got to be willing to give time. Derek Willis, same thing. You know, his first couple years, I just thought, why is that kid here? Let's transfer him out. But I'm with you. I say, you know what? Good for Hollingsworth. Good for Calipari. Let's hope it works out great for both guys.
Another great thing about Shai Alexander's 29 points, 12 of 15 shooting. Like you said, he won the three-point contest and should be a guy you remember. Also, UK target shooting guard Mark Smith, 7 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. Well, that's going to do it for our first segment here. We'll come back, talk with Brian Milam of WKYT, got UK basketball, UK baseball, UK football, all that and more when we return on AM 1250 WLRT right here, 1250 Sports Talk.
Nice shot, Jim.
Hey, thanks. You know, it's great to be out here and not at the shop.
Yeah, must be all that action coach business coaching.
Well, laugh if you want, but our revenues are up, and I'm working smarter on each of the 6 steps to a better business instead of harder, like some people I know.
I don't know what action coach can tell me about my business. We had a record year last year.
Hey, look, every great athlete has a coach, even the world's best golfer, who had a record year last year, too.
Good point.
Now, listen. I've learned more about business in the last 3 months from my action coach than I ever have. I've also learned something else.
Yeah, what's that?
The best tee times are during the middle of the week.
Your local action coach in Central Kentucky is Andrew Van Horn. Contact Andrew at 859-940-5517. That's Andrew Van Horn at 859-940-5517. You deserve to have your own coach, too. Call action coach Andrew Van Horn today.
Do you dread going to the dentist? I did until I found Beaumont Family Dentistry. With 3 convenient locations in Hamburg, Leestown Road, and the Beaumont area, they can take care of all your dental needs at Beaumont Family Dentistry. This month, if you schedule your new patient cleaning appointment, you will receive a free take-home whitening kit at your initial visit. So call Beaumont Family Dentistry today at 223-2120. Or check them out online at BeaumontFamilyDentistry.com.
Hi, I'm Chris Lee with the Kessinger Lee Financial Group. When you're looking to build a financial legacy after years of hard work, you need a financial partner that will do more than just buy and sell stocks and bonds. At the Kessinger Lee Financial Group of Hilliard Lyons, we build comprehensive wealth management plans for our clients. Whether you need to save for your child's education or build and preserve wealth for retirement, we help our clients with all aspects of their financial lives. Visit us today online at KessingerLeeGroup.com or call us at 859-219-4260 to talk with our team of experienced consultants. Let us help you move forward with financial confidence at the Kessinger Lee Group.
Securities offered by J.J.B. Hilliard, W.L. Lyons, LLC, member NYSE, FINRA, and SIPC.
BurgerFi, natural and proud of it. Our beef, it's beef. No hormones, no antibiotics, just 100% certified Angus. You know, the way nature intended. We really get cooking with other chef-driven favorites, made from scratch daily, like our crispy fries and double-battered onion rings, hand-cut and served with house-made sauces, fresh farm veggies and gourmet toppings, all with local craft beer and wine. But we don't stop at honest food. We're proud to commit to eco-friendly practices that improve every neighborhood we call home.
BurgerFi, 141 Rojay Drive, right next to Moe's and the Fayette Mall movie theaters.
Now back to Sports Talk with Greg Horn on AM 1250 WLRT.
Welcome back into 1250 Sports Talk. Action Jackson Reams here with my dad, Rick Reams, today. I want to thank McGee's Bakery for being our sponsor of the day. Go check them out downtown and thank them for being a sponsor here with us at 1250 Sports Talk. On the line right now, we have Brian Milam of WKYT. And firstly, I want to say happy belated birthday to you. I know you had to work, but did you still get to enjoy your birthday?
No, I didn't. the day before, I made a trip over to Eastern Kentucky and spoke at a basketball banquet. And so that was my day off. Got to see some old friends the day before the birthday. So I guess that still technically counts, but yeah, I had to work on the birthday, and, you know, when you get to be my age, you're just happy you get another birthday, right?
I guess that's right. Another year older. I just hit a quarter of a century a couple of weeks ago, so I feel you up at our ages, right?
Yeah, quarter of a century. I almost have a quarter of a century on top of you. So,
well,
yeah, it's good to have a birthday, but I appreciate the birthday wish. Thank you.
Well, I did hear you tell me that you were going, I believe, to talk to Isaac Humphries, and we haven't really gotten to talk to you about the UK departures yet. You had the guys you expected to go with Malik Monk, De'Aaron Fox. You did have Bam Adebayo go without an agent. I thought Isaac Humphries was really the only one that surprised me that he was leaving. What were your overall thoughts on all of the decisions made this last go-around?
Well, I'm not really surprised by Isaac, and I was telling this to someone earlier today. It's not about leaving to go to the NBA. It's leaving to go play professional basketball. Yeah, we know that Monk and Fox will play in the NBA. That's a given. Bam will play in the NBA, but will it be this year? Will it be in this year's draft or next year's draft? And Briscoe and Isaac, and they're going to play professional basketball. And I think a lot of people get those confused as to, like, well, so-and-so can't play in the NBA. They're not good enough. But they could play in Italy, or they could play in Belgium, or they could play in Turkey or South America. So, and Isaac, if you think about it, he showed flashes over the last couple of years. But with possibly Mohamed Bamba coming to UK, Bam Adebayo returning, who knows who else could show up in Lexington. Isaac is kind of, you know, I'm sure he doesn't want to get lost in the shuffle for a third straight season.
Yeah, and I think that's a very fair point. He's also an Australian by birth and,
right,
and for most of his life, and they have a good league over there that he might be able to play in as well.
Yeah, and it would be like the, you know, the prodigal son returning home. You know, you went away for a few years, you come back, and he can have a good career. No matter where he goes, and his style of play also, I don't think it really matched what John Calipari wanted to do at times.
I could definitely see that. He looked like he had a little bit of stretching ability that we saw against North Carolina that we've also seen with Scal Labissiere and some other guys that have gone on to do that away from Kentucky and been more prosperous. So we'll see what he can do. You look ahead to the future. There's been lots of these all-star games going on. Specifically, though, the one I wanted to focus on real quickly was just up in Louisville, the Derby Classic, where you had not only Shai Alexander, who's coming to Kentucky, but also a Lexington native, Tavion Hollingsworth. And both of those guys ended up winning MVP awards. Pretty cool to see Mr. Kentucky basketball, even though he's not coming to UK, do really well up there in an all-star game.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me, actually, of when I was a kid watching the Kentucky Mr. Basketball winners kind of dominate that game. You had Rex Chapman and Tony Kimbrough and guys like that in my formative years that just really lit up the scoreboard. And a lot of U of L and UK guys back in the 80s that played well. And it feels like, granted, things change. Those classic games don't have as much resonance as they once did. You can see that just by the attendance at the game. But it was good to finally see a guy from this state do so well in that he would get the MVP award.
Then I thought it was also very interesting to see how good Shai Alexander was, 29 points on 12 of 15 shooting. He won the three-point competition, and for a guy who I think is often forgot about for this class, just reminds everyone that he is still a very good player, regardless of whether he's a five-star commitment or not.
Yeah, that, I think people put so much stock into, are you a three, a four, a five? You know, what can you do? And, yeah, so many people do get lost in the shuffle, if you will, because of what Cal has been able to accomplish since he's been here. And the kid, what you said, 12 of 15 from the floor, that's not a bad day in any league, the last time I checked. And, you know, Kentucky every year, and you can look this up, every year the pundits and the critics will say, well, Kentucky, oh, their weakness is shooting the basketball. The last time I checked, I don't remember too many Kentucky teams who have really struggled shooting the basketball. And I think the reason they say that is because in some of the bigger games Kentucky has lost, they have not shot it well. You bring this kid in and Diallo, and you have, I think, an improved Winion Gabriel if he comes back, which he should. And you have some of these guards, Kwadi Green, going to get people the ball. I think Kentucky's going to have another good shooting team.
Well, they're going to have a lot to get to work with over the summer. Lots of young guys coming in, lots of experience leaving, and so we'll just have to wait and see what that's going to end up looking like. I want to switch over to the event that happened on Friday night, I guess, was when the UK spring game was. Hard to take a whole lot from these games, but it was on the SEC network, so everyone, even outside of Big Blue Nation, had a chance to watch it. What impacts do you think you were able to take away with from that game?
Well, I think that you look at the defense in certain spots for Kentucky. You know, they got a lot of pressure on the quarterbacks. That is something that Kentucky has not had consistently, gosh, for decades, it feels like. I mean, Kentucky's had good players. They've had good linebackers. But when was the last time you had defensive ends or defensive tackles just constantly pressure the quarterback time after time? You know, Dennis Johnson was excellent at that. You had Dwayne Robertson was very good at that. But it's few and far between that you have these guys that dominate the defensive line, and at times Kentucky did that. Obviously, Gunnar Hoke grabbed everybody's attention because he's the quarterback, and I tell you what I loved about that guy is he threw the football like a shortstop with a baseball. He's throwing it submarine sidearm. He's getting rid of it. And Steven Johnson, I think he put a little bit too much pressure on himself, and I think he knows that because he still, again, missed some wide open receivers, and that was his bugaboo last year. He had some of those receivers a year ago. He could have had another, who knows, 500 yards passing.
So this is Rick, and just what do you think with Steven Johnson? I mean, he had a bad game, okay. So is this still his team, and we're looking at Barker and Gunner going at it for the second string, or do you think that game opened up a little bit of crack there?
Well, it may have, but, you know, the one thing that you and I never get to see is what goes on during practice. Yes, it was the scrimmage game, and the defense kind of knows what the offense is up to. They've gone at each other so much over the fall and the spring, so they kind of have an idea. I think if you go by what Mark Stoops, you know, it's an open competition. I think that Hoke, still being a redshirt freshman, I still think he's going to be as the backup guy. I would have to give the nod to Steven just because you don't know what the physical timetable is for Drew Barker and how is he going to react the first time he gets hit. Because at some point, you're going to have to take a couple of cracks just to see what you got in the tank, so to speak. So with that being said, I think it's Steven Johnson's, but just by the slimmest of margins, maybe.
Like I mentioned, it's hard to take away a lot from these spring games. Would you say that there is anything to take away from it, or is this kind of just like it was another event, it moves them into the summer, and there's not a lot to worry about for the future from it?
I think the one thing you can take away is Shaheem King. There is another running back. It's not just Benny Snell who people can look at. I love Shaheem King long before the blue-white game Friday. You know, when you're the Georgia Player of the Year, you're doing something. I mean, that's not just some other state out there. And you rack up the yards that he had in high school. I think everybody has looked at Benny Snell as the saving grace for the backfield this year. And I think Shaheem King showed that he is just as capable of doing some things with the ball. And I liked also that the running backs were catching the ball out of the backfield a little bit. That's something we haven't seen a lot of over the years.
All right, well, let's move to another UK sport. You're a big baseball guy, played in college yourself, and now you cover the UK baseball team plenty. They won 2 of 3 on the road this weekend at Missouri. Now sit at 25-12 and 10-5 in the SEC. They hold a 2-game lead in first place of the SEC East. Hard to believe that they're in the position that they are at this point in the season, isn't it?
It is and it isn't. I mean, you know, we talked to Nick Mangione and Evan White and Logan Salo earlier today, and I asked Logan Salo, I said, at some point, this is a surprise team moniker has to be shed, right? You know, the national media still cannot believe that Kentucky, at the midway point, is leading the conference. And he said, you know, we like to have that chip on our shoulder, the underdog role, because you know, we want people to look past us. We don't want them to think that, you know, we want to earn all the respect that we get, and they have earned that. I remember talking to a couple of people several months before the season began, and they said, if Nick Mangione goes 12-18 in conference play this year, he ought to be coach of the year with this team. Well, don't look now, but he's got 10 wins, and they still have 15 games to go. I mean, this is absolutely phenomenal what he's done, and if I had a vote, which I do not, he would be the national coach of the year. Forget the SEC coach of the year. He'd get that too. But it is remarkable what this team has accomplished in a short amount of time, and it's great to see what energy and passion can do for the same set of players a year ago that lacked it, and now they have it.
Well, things don't slow down any for the baseball team. They're going to host No. 2 Louisville tomorrow night and then have No. 9 LSU come in for 3 games over the weekend. Luckily for them, though, all 4 of those games are at home. Do you think they can still or do you expect them to come out with, you know, at least 2-2 on these games or 3-4? What's your thoughts on how they'll do this week?
Well, you just hit it right, the nail on the head. If this team can split and go 2-2, it's a successful week. I think if they go 1-3, certainly if they go 0-4, it'd be a terrible week. But if they can beat Louisville and take 1 against LSU, a 2-2 record with these two teams coming in, that'd be huge for the confidence. And that doesn't sound like a lot to certain people. 2-2, that doesn't sound very good. In baseball against this schedule, UK's got a No. 7 RPI ranking. I mean, they're going to the show. They're going to go to the playoffs and to the postseason. And if they can just win a couple, then that's huge. Obviously, you want to beat Louisville, but you want to take the 2 from LSU more than you do beating Louisville.
And for the second half of this season, you know, there's still plenty of stuff to play for. There is that SEC title. There also is the possibility that they could be a nationally ranked seed, I believe. So how important is it for them to finish out this second half of the season, you know, as strongly, if not even more so, than the first half?
Yeah, I think it's huge, obviously, because this team literally is coming up from the ashes. A year ago, it was, and I'll tell you something else that needs to continue. They need to continue to win the midweek games. They've lost to Cincinnati. They lost to Louisville. Those are the only 2 midweek games. Take away the first couple of weeks of the season when you're just trying to figure out who you are. The midweek games are enormous, and that's what kept UK out of the postseason last year. They were, if you go by Joe Lenardi's, you know, first 4 in, first 4 out, all that stuff, UK was, in the baseball setting, the first team out of last year's postseason. And you can credit that to losing to EKU, losing to Northern Kentucky, which was a terrible loss, and losing to some of the other midweek games that they had. And this year they've taken care of business on the midweek, and a win over Louisville would just bolster the RPI even more. But yeah, it's huge to finish what you start. And I don't think that this team is playing for moral victories now. If this team was, let's say, at 10-5 right now, let's say they were 7-8 or 6-9, yeah, maybe you play for moral victories. But this team is smelling a championship now, and that totally changes the attitude of the ball club.
Well, Brian, we really appreciate you taking the time. One last question for you, and I can't help but ask it. Were you more surprised by the way that my Cincinnati Reds have started this season, being in first place of the NL Central, or by the slow start of your St. Louis Cardinals in last place in the NL Central right now?
A little surprised at both, but if you look at the Reds pitching, this is where the Reds are going to get, they're going to find out what they're made of, because Finnegan is now on the disabled list. The pitcher rookie, whatever his name is, he's on the DL. Homer Bailey's on the DL. Disclafani's on the DL. And you can, and it's great that they're winning, but they're also using their bullpen way, way, way too much. And I have a feeling if they don't get right, that's going to cost them come June and July. But, you know, being in first place in April doesn't mean you're in first place in October, so we'll wait and see.
It's very true, and they already struggled this weekend. They lost 3 of 4 at home to the Brewers, so kind of got brought down to earth pretty quickly. Like I said, really appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you in the future, my man.
You got it, buddy. Thank you.
All right. That was Brian Milam with WKYT. Always really have a great time talking to him, because he can just talk forever about whatever you want, and learned a whole lot in that segment. Come right back with us in our third segment here. We're going to talk all the UK football news, and I'll give you a rundown. I was on the front row of the spring game, what my thoughts were. We'll be right back after this break on 1250 Sports Talk on AM 1250 WLRT.
Hi, I'm Greg Horn with Sports Talk. Are you a basketball junkie like I am and looking for a great place to watch college basketball? Look no further. Shamrock's Bar and Grill is the place to be to enjoy great food, and they've got lots of TVs to help you watch your favorite college basketball and NBA team. Locally owned, Shamrock's Bar and Grill has 2 locations, on Patchen Drive and in the Heartland Shopping Center. Hope to see you soon at Shamrock's Bar and Grill.
Each show, we like to take a minute to thank one of our longtime sponsors, Asbury University. Did you know that in the past year alone, Asbury sent individual students, groups, and athletic teams on hundreds of different mission trips to 40 different countries? If you or your student at home is interested in missions, cross-cultural travel, or study abroad programs while attending a nationally ranked, private, and affordable university, email Asbury at admissions@asbury.edu.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.
Congratulations to McGee's Bakery, celebrating their 60th anniversary. Family-owned since 1956, everyone knows that McGee's Bakery is a great place to start your day. However, did you know that McGee's also serves lunch? You can enjoy great sandwiches and homemade soups. Also, for the heart of your appetite, enjoy one of McGee's delicious burgers. Schedule your next lunch meeting at McGee's, located on the corner of South Ashland and Main Street. Make sure to tell them you heard about them on 1250 Sports Talk.
Now back to Sports Talk with Greg Horn on AM 1250 WLRT.
Welcome back to Sports Talk, our third segment of the day. I'm Action Jackson Reams here with my dad, Rick Reams. I want to thank McGee's Bakery, our sponsor of the day today. Fantastic place to get both breakfast and lunch down there off of Ashland Avenue in that general area. You go ahead with the what is the exact area?
It's Main Street. It's like one block off of Ashland.
There you go. Well, I was close. I want you to head down there, thank them for being a sponsor of Sports Talk, and enjoy a meal while you're down there as well. We haven't gotten to talk about this UK spring game. Now, we did have Brian Milam of WKYT on in our last segment, talked lots of different stuff, and the spring game was one of those things. But let's go ahead and focus a little bit more on it. It was ugly football, wasn't a great crowd, and overall, I was extremely bored at the event, but there were some things to take away from it. 31-14 win for the blue team, which was your technical first stringers. Any overall thoughts? Where I know we've got some performances down for you. Pick out a couple of guys and just talk about who impressed you on Friday.
Well, I'm going to go the opposite first. I'm going to go with two guys that didn't impress me, and that would be Dorian Baker. He's still dropping the football, Jackson. I don't understand what we've got to do, and I'm hoping, and I know he listens to this show, and he really cares about what I say.
Obviously.
But I'm hoping that someone can light a fire under him and just get him to catch the ball. He's got all the athletic ability in the world, so catch the ball. The other guy is Grant McInnes. Our punting is atrocious, and you know, we used to be punter you, so we can do much better. And you wrote in the notes, and I totally agree. Let's hope this kid from Australia, from Columbia, Matthew Panton, is the real deal. Because, you know, there were no rushes. They weren't allowed to rush the punter the other night. We even had McInnes kick for both teams to try to get him going. Seven punts, 36.7-yard average. The shortest was a 30-yarder. He had a long of 50 yards, but wow, Jackson, we've got to do something to get that going. Someone earlier today told me, don't worry about it. Our offense is going to be so good, we won't ever have to punt the ball. I'm afraid that's not going to happen.
Well, I do like your audible there to go with who didn't impress you. I agree with both of those guys. Not quite as ready to just give up on Steven Johnson maybe as some people were. I'm really not even that concerned that he went 8-for-18 in that game. He's got all summer and some of the fall to get things back on track, and I think he'll be able to do it. He's going to have to lead the team because he did it last year, so we'll put it back in his hands. Gunnar Hoke really, really impressed me. 16 of 24 for 174 yards, two touchdowns passing and one rushing. And Saheem King is a guy I've talked about in the past that I really like. Brian Milam mentioned it. But let's just talk about the stat line. 19 carries, 107 yards, and two touchdowns. And that's a guy who hasn't really been getting a sniff of carries in the last 2 years. So let's hope he can start getting carries this coming season.
And he also showed what he could do against Tennessee. If you remember at the end of that game, when that game was totally out of hand, Tennessee, and I know everyone say they're second or third stringers, but let's be honest, some of Tennessee's second or third stringers could start for us, are used to. They're not as good now. But they couldn't stop him. He ran wild.
And so I'm hoping he's played his way into it. And then on defense, that was an area I said I was going to be paying a lot of attention. Very disappointed that Jordan Jones missed a meeting the morning of the spring game and had to be held out. Doesn't sound like a leader to me if you're going to do stupid stuff like that. So let's hope they can fix that. Redshirt freshman linebacker Jamar Boogie Watson was incredible. Six tackles, and four of those were sacks. And then early enrollee linebacker Jamin, or like I like to call him, Jammin' Davis, eight tackles, five solo tackles, and one for loss. So I thought there were some bright spots, but overall, ugly football, and honestly, spring games are just that. They're not very interesting, and they're in the middle of a time when it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but you also have to remember, like you said on the show last week, that this is some of the last football we're going to see or basketball we're going to see. We're going to be in the midst of the summer of baseball, which is fine, but that doesn't overly excite me. But, you know, Jackson, one guy that you don't have written down here, and I know I talk about him all the time, but David, as I called him, Money Bouvier or Bouvier, however they want to say it.
Bouvier is how they pronounce it at the stadium.
Okay, so we'll say Bouvier. He is a slot receiver. He had one play. In fact, I texted you. He was so wide open, and Steven Johnson could not get in the ball. He had three or four catches. He's just a kid that just seems like he's really really set to play some. I like the way he looked out there. You know, the hardest thing in that game was the quarterbacks. It was touch. So if you touched them, you got a sack. There was one play. I know one of the UK's linebacker, I think it was Gunnar Hoke in the second half. I mean, this kid touched Hoke 7 times and they never called anything. So, you know, it's one of those. But yeah, you know, you take from it what you can. We didn't get anyone hurt, but like you said, whoever it was that hit AJ Rose.
It was Eli Brown, the native from Bowling Green.
I tell you what, AJ Rose just got lit up and that is not the place to do that. The kid had a 27-yard run. You know, he's one we want to see out there, and you just don't light him up. And Jackson, they didn't show it on TV, but you said after the hit, the kid that hit him was jumping around going crazy, and I'm like, dude, that's not what we're out here for.
Yeah, Brown was really excited with the hit. I was really frustrated. I mean, you had a huge hit in the Mississippi State spring game that ended that game completely. They canceled it because of how hard I believe a linebacker hit a running back. And then for Eli Brown to go high like that on AJ Rose, it's just a neck sprain, they say, and he should be fine. But he was supposed to get first team reps, and he wasn't able to because Eli Brown hit him like that. I would have been in his face mask if I was a coach. I didn't see anyone doing that, so maybe the coaches were okay with it. But, you know, also, we never played football, so it may be hard to do that and pull up like that. Only another couple of minutes here, but the football team also got some good news yesterday when 3-star wide receiver Kadarius Gaskins from Delray Beach, Florida, picked Kentucky on his Twitter page. He is a 2018 player, 6'4", 205 pounds, and had a couple of Power 5 offers. Nothing real big yet, just NC State, Syracuse, Illinois, West Virginia, Rutgers, and Lane Kiffin's Florida Atlantic, among others. But it was a guy he was in for the spring game over the weekend. Sounded like Lamar Thomas really won him over. And so Kentucky just continues with getting other players with at least Power 5 offers and talented players at that.
And I think you're seeing a switch in our receiving core.
Oh, okay.
Because of the fact we're going with the 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", guys, as opposed to the guys we've had lately, which are much smaller guys, Juice Johnson, all those who are great players. But if you see, especially in the NFL, you're going to bigger wide receivers. The smaller guys are kind of moving over the slot. That's another thing, Jackson. We had a lot of guys that didn't play the other night. Juice Johnson didn't play. C.J. Conrad didn't play. Drew Barker didn't play. You know, I'm wondering about this Jordan Jones thing. I hate to be a theorist here, but I'm wondering if you go to the kid and you say, you know what, miss this meeting because we really don't want you to play anyhow, and we're going to make a big deal of our best defensive players not going to play in this game, and that's going to show everyone else we're serious. You know what, I'm pie in the sky guy with that. I have a feeling what really happened was the dude missed the meeting and he didn't play.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not with you on that, but maybe you're right. I guess we'll never find out. That's going to do it for this segment. Stay with us. We got one more segment left. There's some NBA basketball to talk about. We haven't talked about the baseball or the softball teams at UK yet. We'll have all that and more when we return for our final segment of Sports Talk on AM 1250 WLRT.
Flowers are the perfect present for any special occasion. Birthdays, anniversaries, celebrations of life. Creations by Karen wants to help you find the most beautiful bouquets and flower arrangements. Pick up your own at Creations by Karen's convenient location in Zandale Shopping Center off of Nicholasville Road. You could also call 859-277-6166 or check them out online at creationsbykaren.net. Make sure next time you let Creations by Karen help you pick out the perfect present to make a lasting memory.
Hi, I'm Chris Lee with the Kessinger Lee Financial Group. When you're looking to build a financial legacy after years of hard work, you need a financial partner that will do more than just buy and sell stocks and bonds. At the Kessinger Lee Financial Group of Hilliard Lyons, we build comprehensive wealth management plans for our clients. Whether you need to save for your child's education or build and preserve wealth for retirement, we help our clients with all aspects of their financial lives. Visit us today online at KessingerLeeGroup.com or call us at 859-219-4260 to talk with our team of experienced consultants. Let us help you move forward with financial confidence at the Kessinger Lee Group.
Securities offered by J.J.B. Hilliard, W.L. Lyons, LLC, member NYSE, FINRA, and SIPC.
And now back to Sports Talk with Greg Horn on AM 1250 WLRT.
Welcome back to Sports Talk, final segment of the day today. Show sponsored by McGee's Bakery, downtown Lexington. Fantastic place for breakfast or even lunch needs. So go check them out. Thank them for sponsoring us here at 1250 Sports Talk. I am Action Jackson Reams, taking over hosting duties for the entire week this week. And today I'm joined by my father, Rick Reams. Neither one of us, big time on Louisville. Now, you did graduate from their dentistry school, but that's okay. We'll forgive you for that. And so I'm going to start this segment with a couple of shots to Louisville because I enjoy doing them. First of all, Louisville's football spring game. Beer was cheaper than a bottle of water. $3 for a beer, $3.50 for a bottle of water. I don't care who you are. Louisville knows who they are selling drinks to, and there is a reason 100% that they did that. Also at that spring game, no video camera taping allowed, including for sports broadcasters. I don't understand what Tom Jurich and Bobby Petrino are thinking on that one. No one's trying to steal anything from you in a spring game because you don't do anything worth watching in a spring game for the most part.
You've got a returning Heisman Trophy guy, and you're not letting him do this. Jackson, the thing I loved about it is even the media in Louisville is rolling their eyes. I don't know if you saw it. One of the sportscasters, a man or a woman that were doing the sports that night, and they had stick figure drawings of the highlights and everything. So, yeah, you know, with Louisville, why does anything surprise us anymore? I mean, as you said, water and a soft drink is $3.50. A beer is $3. Let's just say they're trying to hit their target audience. And from what I understand, there was no real attendance figures, but I heard the attendance wasn't very good. And I think you'd like to talk also. Tell me about this recruit that Louisville basketball has.
Well, you mentioned Darius Perry in that first segment from his 22-point outing at the Derby Classic. Bravo to him. But he's a guy who John Calipari may have watched in high school, apparently was close to offering the kid. But the thing is, he never received a Kentucky offer. And after the game, I guess he was asked why he chose Louisville. And he said, among other things, that player development was a big part of that. And he specifically cited players don't develop elsewhere, like Isaiah Briscoe. He couldn't shoot when he showed up to Kentucky, and he still can't shoot. Well, that's fine and dandy. You can take a shot at Kentucky. I enjoy the rivalry, taking shots across the lines there. But don't act like you could have gone to Kentucky. First of all, you didn't have an offer. You can't commit to a place that doesn't want you. Second of all, you could end up being really great for Louisville, and no one in this state will pay attention to you over whoever is the starting point guard for Kentucky this season or any other season that you're going to be at Louisville. Also, no one stays at Louisville. You look at Devin Booker, and this was something I saw, not Jerry Tipton, actually one thing he tweeted that wasn't just an outrageous joke. Devin Booker was about 30th in his class, ended up being drafted like 12th overall, and is now a superstar in the NBA. That says player development to me. Shaquan Aaron was about 30th in his class. He played one season at UofL and transferred. That does not say player development to me. I don't get where this kid's coming from, but I can at least say bravo to him for trying to vamp up the rivalry a little bit. It's a lot different when all four of your guys are only playing in the Derby Classic and all four of Kentucky guys are in every nationally televised all-star game this entire rotation.
Yeah, and the thing I love about it, Jackson, is I played basketball against – some people that were really good basketball players, and there were college coaches there. So I could have said that Joby Hall and all these Gene Cady, all these guys saw me play. They came and watched me play. Well, the truth is they were watching other people play, and I happened to be in the game. So when this kid says, well, you know, or whoever says, well, Cal came and watched and almost, but yeah, you know, whatever. The thing to me that just sticks out more than anything is probably our worst recruit scored 29 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists in 19 minutes and won the 3-point competition. Enough said. Shut your mouth. We're done.
Absolutely. Move over. We'll recap what the baseball and the softball teams did this weekend. Only a couple of minutes left here on the show. The 10th-ranked baseball team took 2 of 3 at Missouri, winning 5-2 on Friday, losing in a home run derby 9-8 on Saturday. I believe a Missouri player even homered 3 straight times in that game. And then yesterday coming back and getting a 6-1 win to win that series. Cats now sitting at 25-12, 10-5 in the SEC, hold a 2-game lead in the East, and host number 2 Louisville tomorrow and number 9 LSU for 3 games this weekend. I said it to Milam, but I want to get your thoughts. Things don't get any easier. So do you expect this team to continue playing as well as they have in that first half?
I think there's going to be a little bit of a fall back, not a letdown. I just think this team has played so well. It's hard to keep that going, especially the league they're playing in. And let's be honest, Louisville's a top-notch team. I did like what Brian Milam said, though. He said, you know what, if you have to lose to Louisville and then win the series against LSU is what you want to do. Because, honestly, that Louisville game really doesn't matter that much. It's the SEC that you want to get. You want to get to the SEC tournament because, Jackson, people may not realize all the teams don't qualify for the SEC baseball tournament. So you want to get there, and then you want to be able to go on to the NCAA. So, you know what? It would be disappointing, but let's be honest. If this team didn't win many more games the rest of the year, they've had a fantastic year.
They haven't beaten Louisville, I believe, in like the last 8 tries. So you got to beat them sometime. Might as well do it tomorrow night at the Cliff. And then the 21st ranked Kentucky softball team dropped 2 of 3 at home to number 3 Florida. 4-0 Friday, 2-0 Sunday, and then they won 5-1 on Saturday. They did hand the Gators just their 3rd loss of the season and just their 2nd loss in the SEC of the year. But they lost to the same pitcher twice. On Friday, she struck out 15. And then on Sunday, I believe she struck out like 18 and had a no-hitter. UK now sitting at 26-13, 6-9 in the SEC, and a 3-way tie for 7th place right now.
Yeah, I wanted, Jackson, real quickly, just at the end of the show, just send out thoughts and prayers for Reggie Warford. Some of you may remember he had a heart transplant earlier this year and did well with that. He is actually going to have a kidney transplant tomorrow. So just thoughts and prayers for Reggie Warford. Played for Adolph Rupp, was a great guy, and has had a lot of health issues. But let's just think about him, and hopefully this transplant will go as well as the heart transplant did.
Well, we'll definitely send out our thoughts and prayers to him, and hopefully everything goes well. That's going to do it for our show today. Tomorrow, I will be back in action. Not sure who's going to be with me, and I'll let you know on Facebook and Twitter who is going to be our guest. But I'll see you right back here tomorrow night at 5 o'clock for Sports Talk on AM 1250 WLRT.